The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
For those of you who have been joined us just in the last year or two, in 2022, when Pastor Devin was leaving and things were a little bit in transition, I preached about 8 times here. And then last year, several times, just as we were making the shift, and we're so thankful that Leo joined as our senior pastor back in January this year. And I guess I shouldn't boast about it, but there are some people, a number of people, who call me their favorite Canadian pastor. Actually, the number's only 2. They knew me when we were in Vietnam, and one is from Singapore, one's from Vietnam, and they've never met any other Canadian pastors. But I thought I would just mention that. They're the only ones who've ever called me that. Today we're going to look back when we celebrate communion at the end of the service. We're going to talk about present, what our lives should be like, and we're wanting to focus on the future because that should change a huge difference in our lives. I don't know if you've noticed, but hundreds of Canadians have been living a life of tremendous discipline the last several years. And they've been being very careful of how they sleep. They have watched exactly what they're eating. They have been going through discipline training. And all because of one specific hope. Can I make the Olympic team? Can I go to the Olympics and represent Canada there? For some, of course, the hope has been even more. Can I make it to the podium? And so all of their life has been changed. They have missed parties that their friends were going to. They have gone without lots of delicious food that we've been enjoying while they've been in training. They have been through the pain, for there's no swimmer who becomes an Olympic champion, no runner who becomes an Olympic champion without living with pain. They've gone through all of that with that one focus of life. I want to get to the Olympics. And for some of them, I think I can get to the podium. The future totally affected their life. Now, modern science would tell us you have no future. In case you didn't know it, the underlying theme of so much, not of all scientists, but the theme that is out there is this is a meaningless world. And you are just a chance happening in the middle of this meaningless world. Any purpose you have, you're just making it up, or somebody's making it up for you. There is no purpose to life because there is no God, there's no creator, there's no absolute truth, there's nothing out there. So try to enjoy the ride because this is all there is. And then, of course, we live in a me-centered consumer culture that tells me what I need to do is get all I can, experience all I can, enjoy all I can, because then that's all there is. And those who are Christians, those who believe the Bible, say, no. The Bible, the truth here, makes all the difference. We live now in a culture that tries to keep people from dying. We have suicide hotlines. We're doing all we can to help in the opioid crisis that continues to kill thousands of people every year. But then if you want to die, we'll help you. Because we have now this medically approved and government approved way that we can help you die. But nobody's telling you how to live after death. Nobody with any certainty except the scriptures that tell us there's someone who came, we've sung about, who lived, died, and rose again, who had predicted that death and predicted that resurrection, and therefore speaks with authority about what happens after life. We believe there is a God who created us. We believe that there is a God who judges, and there is a God who rewards, depending upon what we have believed and what has happened in our life. Jesus' followers say he taught us. He proved by his resurrection he was who he claimed to be, for he made audacious claims, claiming to be God, claiming to have come from heaven, claiming to be the way and the truth and the life. And so we have decided, most of us, that we are going to link our lives to Him because He knows about this life, how to live a thriving life, and He knows about eternity and life after death. Came across a song just a couple of years ago. I think it's only been out 2 years. By a band and an individual called Big Daddy Weave. And with others, he wrote the song, Heaven Changes Everything. And I didn't notice it. I had it in my Spotify list, and I really wasn't paying attention until about the third time I heard it. And then I thought, man, I like the words that those guys wrote. It's got a great emphasis, and it's the emphasis that we want to have this morning. And so if you're watching this online, if you're right now listening and watching, unfortunately, for 90 seconds, we're going to have to block you out. Copyright laws tell me, and we've got an expert, Tyler, who knows what it's like to break that law, and we better not. No, it was a mistake. But we're going to blank for 90 seconds. You can go get a drink of water if you want, and then we'll be back. Just count to 90 where you are, and we're going to listen to a little bit of this song, and there'll be some words on the screen, but we've got to blank it out for those of you are doing this online, okay? Here we go. Let's listen to this song. There's several lines that I really, really liked in that song, and they're on the screen for you now. The way that I love, the way that I live, the way I let go and choose to forgive, the peace in this pain, the hope in this grief. All of that has changed because I believe in heaven, because I believe in the Lord who is in heaven. We need a strong Jesus-centered heaven orientation in order to become all we're meant to be, in order to have the right attitudes with which we live life, in order to have the right values that we need to have. So with that in mind, we're going to read two scriptures this morning. One is in Colossians. Actually, in my Bible, these two are only a page apart, but they're in two different books. Colossians chapter 3 and then in Philippians chapter 3. And because you've been sitting for at least 5 minutes now, let's stand, okay? No, because we want to honor the Word of God and read it together. Come on, stand and read this with me, would you please? Okay, first of all, these four verses in Colossians, and then we'll read five verses in Philippians. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Notice that four times, the Apostle Paul, who's writing this letter, mentions Christ. We've been raised with Christ. Where Christ is, you died and your life is now hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears. When we say heaven changes everything, of course, we could be saying Christ changes everything. For he is the reason we want to be in heaven. Total Christ-centeredness. Okay, and then Philippians chapter 3. Reading together. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is the stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Now, those two passages are packed with meaning, and I could keep preaching for quite a long time on them. In fact, several years ago, I preached through the book of Colossians and spent a whole sermon on that. And I preached through another series in Philippians and spent a whole sermon on that. So if you've got 125 minutes, I'd be happy. No, we'll really just focus on two things, or three things rather, today. Because although there's a lot there, we have limited time. So look at this with me and see how what was captured in that song heaven changes everything. Comes right out of Scripture in these two books, in Colossians and Philippians, but runs as a theme through much of the New Testament. And unless we know that, unless we let it change us, we'll never experience what God really has for us. Number one, we must focus our hearts and minds upward. Number one, focus our minds and hearts upward. Look up above. Look up above. There was an old saying years ago, they are so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly use. Now that might have been once upon a time. I know no Christians who are that way now. Because if we really are heavenly minded, and that's of course what's meant by set your hearts above, set your minds above, what's meant there is that we are to have that big picture, that forward picture, so that right now we will thrive. Right now we will live as we're meant to live. Paul wrote these letters while he was in prison. There are four prison letters in the New Testament. We refer to them as those. Ephesians and Philemon, and then Philippians and Colossians. He planted the church in Philippi. You can read, and I think it's Acts 16. You can read about how the Apostle Paul went to the city of Philippi, and there was nobody there who believed in Jesus. But he went, he and his companions, he had several guys with him, and they went to a place where Jewish women were meeting for prayer. And they started to talk to them about the Messiah, the one that you've been waiting for. All of us Jewish people have been waiting for. He's come. He's Jesus. And through those conversations, they came to faith. And then the church was started. And it's a rather exciting chapter because the Apostle Paul, for preaching that way and challenging the people who had all kinds of other beliefs, wound up being beaten, he and his friend, and thrown in prison. And there was an earthquake. And you can read that on your own. So he's writing to, in Philippi, people that he knows. When he writes to the city of Colossae, he hasn't been there as far as we know. It's not mentioned in the New Testament elsewhere. So he's writing to two different churches, but his theme is the same. His theme is the same, that we must focus our hearts and minds upward. Our culture and all ancient cultures, of course, have said focus on what's now. Learn to live now. Stoically learn. Or have some dream about what will happen in the future, but focus on now, what you can see, what you can feel, what you can enjoy. But followers of Jesus need to make a daily effort to increase our desire for the things of God, for spiritual growth, for pleasing Christ. In that passage, I pointed out four times the name of Christ is mentioned. It is theming for us that we are united with Christ. Now, this is hard. I've been mulling this over since I haven't been preaching regularly. I've been thinking about this a lot. It's really hard to explain. We say it quite often in church services, but to understand that when we really believe in Jesus, when we truly make a commitment to Him, when we really say, I know I've sinned and I cannot reach God on my own. Oh, I pray, but I don't know if it's getting through. I want to know that I'm connected with God. Then when we trust in Jesus, the Bible tells us, and it's symbolized when we do a water baptism, putting people under the water and above, that we die with Christ. That is, we identify with His death. Then we identify with His resurrection because we come out of the water in baptism. Not only do I trust in one who died, I believe He died for me, but I believe He rose again. We were singing about it this morning. He's conquered death and I belong to Him. I'm therefore taking part in a resurrection life that will last forever. And so the Apostle Paul in this passage is saying, keep looking up. Make sure that your attitudes, make sure that your desires are aimed at what lies ahead. Develop a strong desire for eternal things. It's not hard to have a strong desire for a new car or a better house or a vacation that some are on right now and you wish you were. Now, it's not hard to have that desire, but to have a desire for things that last, a desire that comes from God, to have that desire and to keep thinking that way, for he speaks about desiring with our hearts, desiring with our minds, making sure that my thinking is tuned to the fact that I'm going to live forever. If I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm going to live forever. And I'm going to be in heaven with the perfect God who's watching how I live and wanting me to live in a way that pleases him. So I'm to develop this strong desire for unseen things, stronger than my desire for money or success or whatever I can buy. And I'm to grow to want what God says is important. And if I do, then I will find that heaven is changing everything. Set your desires, we read in Colossians, to be where Jesus Christ, the risen one, is. To be with him. For he's there now. He's seated at the right hand of God, meaning he's at the most important place, right there beside God the Father. And he's seated, meaning he's done all the work. And you know, you hear Leo preach and others preach, we cannot earn our way to heaven. We can't do enough. We can't be good enough. But Jesus is seated at the right hand of God because he's done it. He died on the cross for us, and therefore we can live being united with him forever, accepted in God's perfect place. Why do so many times you hear people saying you need a daily time of prayer and Bible study? Why is it strongly recommended that's the way to start your day? Spend time with God in prayer and Bible study. Because naturally, you will not have your mind focus on things above. Naturally, the things all around us in our culture, they will soak up all of our thinking and all of our time and all of our focus. But if you're going to live for Jesus and for eternal things, on the job, at school, wherever you are, in your neighborhood, you need to start the day getting your mind focused, reminding yourself, no, to love God with all my heart, to love my neighbor as myself, to remember God's in control, to have all of those kind of thoughts. Little by little, as I do this daily, my mind begins to more naturally look at things above and to have the attitude that those are the things that count. And that then percolates into my life and into my attitudes as I go about my daily life. Of course, that's the positive. And if we had time in Colossians chapter 3, he then goes on the negative. So then you've got to put to death. You've got to kill those desires you have for things that are not connected with heaven. You need to stop talking in these ways. You've got to shun anything that has to do with immorality. He will say that. But in this passage, the focus is positive. Make sure that you're thinking, letting God change your mind. And you can only do that as you spend time in Scripture. Of course, it helps also if we get together in small groups and discuss Scripture and share and encourage each other and as we come together in church. But we need to daily have that so that we will be thinking the way followers of Jesus are supposed to think. So that we will be reacting the way followers of Jesus react. So we will be valuing the way followers of Jesus value. And so the song that we had on the screen and listened to, he says, it changes the way that I love. That is, I love people that I wouldn't normally love. Why? Because I'm keeping my mind where it ought to be. A God who said, love your neighbor as yourself. The way that I live, my morality, my entertainment, my honesty, the kind of neighbor I am, the kind of work colleague I am, that changes because I'm seeing it now in light of eternity, in light of the command to love God with all I've got and to love my neighbor as myself. My thinking is changing. So that's number one. We need to keep looking above. Secondly, connected very closely to it, in the passage in Philippians we read, we must remember where our loyalty belongs. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now stop for a minute, because some of you are familiar with Scripture. That sounds familiar, and there wasn't really a blip. But for some of you, if that's new, it should be, excuse me, what did you say? What did we just read? Our citizenship is in heaven. Hold on, I thought people were supposed to work to be good enough to get to heaven. I thought we were living a life like this so we would qualify for heaven. No. If you've trusted in Christ, if you put your faith in him, you're a citizen of heaven. You belong there. Now, it's interesting that Paul uses that term because it's not very common in the New Testament. He uses that term writing to the Philippian church because Philippi was a Roman city, declared a Roman city. It was part of the Roman Empire. All the cities were all the way around the Mediterranean, part of the Roman Empire. But they were declared a Roman city, and the people in them Roman citizens, even though they were hundreds of kilometers away from Rome. They had got that official blessing from Rome. You are a Roman citizen. Now you have all the rights of being a Roman city and Roman citizens in that city. And so he says to them, remember, you are citizens of heaven. You belong there. You have citizenship there. I mentioned one of those two women who call me their favorite Canadian pastor. I was talking with Twee. We spent 6 days with them. They were here in Canada just recently. Talking with Twee, and at one point we were talking about the multiculturalism of Canada and the strengths of it, but also the weaknesses of it. And I said to Twee, so you married an American just a few years ago, and now you're living in the U.S., but you have kind of a split citizenship, right? You become a citizen of the U.S., but what do you feel, what do you think when things come up about the U.S. and things come up about Vietnam? And she said, without thought, but I thought she said it very well, well, the things about Vietnam, they touch my heart. The things about the U.S., that touches my head. I remember what Paul wrote in Colossians, set your hearts, set your minds on heaven. You're a citizen of heaven. But I know Christians whose neither their mind or their heart is set above, who would say, oh yeah, I belong to that. I've trusted Jesus. I'm a citizen of heaven. How is that affecting your life? Is there anything that's different in your life from the neighbor next to you? Is a nice guy, a nice woman, but they don't have any belief in Jesus. Is your life any different? Are your attitudes any, are your values any different? How are we different? Because we are citizens. Has it touched our hearts, that is our desires? Has it touched our heads, that is our thought process of what's valuable and what isn't? What Paul says in this same passage in Colossians says in the verse before, those who are against Christ, they have their minds on earthly things. And he wants to warn them and warns us through this inspired word of God, be careful, because it's so easy to value earthly things and to forget that we are living for heavenly things. Where does Paul get that from? Well, listen to what Jesus wrote, or what Jesus said. Jesus did not write anything. What Jesus said and is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? And I'm not giving you the whole passage. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these other things will be given you as well. If I can paraphrase that, Jesus says, seek the things that are above, the values that God has given us in the Word, the example that Jesus has given us. Seek those things, and the rest of your life will fall into place. But if you don't, if you're seeking what will make you feel good, if you're reacting because that's how I feel, if you're going after what your neighbors are going after, and those are your priorities, then you're never going to thrive the way God meant you to thrive. You'll never be fulfilled the way you should, because you're made to seek His kingdom, His way of life. The things that are really going to last forever. Jesus said another thing in that same Sermon on the Mount, just a few verses later, if you're reading through Matthew 6. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Oh, sorry, treasures on earth. Where moths, just did that to make sure you're paying attention. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, I just thought of this, even though I've read that 100 times, I just thought of it now. Oh, we're okay because we don't store up things where moths and rust can get in. No, because we've got it in securities. We've got it in coupons. We've got it in the bank. So there's no problem with any of that, Jesus. We can just stay earth-centered and those things don't rust or fade away. You know that's not the point he's making. He is saying, you can't trust everything. It may not fade, but you will. So you can have investments that will maybe last for three generations and others will enjoy them, but you won't. The death rate in Canada is 100%. You're going to die. Whether you're 10 or whether you're 90, you're going to die. And all of that that you're striving for, the things that you want to get, they won't matter anyways. And so Jesus says, no. How do I store up treasure in heaven? That's what Jesus has told me to do. Well, really quickly, I think of three things. Give more of yourself. Because if you give yourself serving other people out of love for Jesus, you're storing up treasure for heaven. You're giving yourself. You're giving your time. How do I store up Jesus or store up treasure in heaven? Give more of your personal story. Talk to others about what Jesus has done for you. Tell them how the Bible is alive for you. Tell them how it makes such a difference to you that you know God loves you. Tell them how your life is changing because you follow Jesus. Give more of your money. If you really believe that heaven changes everything, how come you give so little? How come you spend more on restaurants than you do give to the church and give to the poor? If heaven changes everything, one of the ways to tell is, what do you do with your money? And if you're responding to this scripture truth that I'm telling you, what will you change? Will you stop giving X amount every month and start to give X plus 2 or X plus 5% or whatever more that you should be giving because you're changing your mind into thinking about eternity? Giving more money, giving more of my personal story, giving more of myself to others. The Bible is clear that I need to be changed by heaven. That song said again, used the phrase, the way that I let go. Some people have a hard time letting go of their children. We have two families who've let their young adult son and their young adult daughter go off to Asia and to Europe, where they could have kept them here and say, no, just get a job here. Don't want you to go away. But they've got an eternal perspective. And so they let go of their children. I know some people who won't let go of their house. In fact, I remember an older couple. We had just come back from our 4 years in Hanoi, and we found out about a need for a couple to be taking care of a guest house where international Christian workers would come to get a break and a rest from serving in very difficult countries. And I said, man, you would be the perfect couple to go. You love Jesus. You are generous, I think, with your time and your hospitality. Be perfect place for you to go. They were in their 60s. They're still young. And the best excuse I heard from those, well, we couldn't leave our dog. Excuse me? You pray for missionaries to go and leave their families and go to other places, leave everything, and you would say no to an opportunity to serve because you wouldn't leave your dog? Now, that's an extreme example, but there's the point. The way that I let go, some of the thoughts that I'm hanging on to, some of the grudges that I feel, am I able to let go? We need to disagree with a lot of things. We need to be good citizens. We need to be good neighbors, but we have to disagree because we have different perspectives, because we have a higher citizenship. I had an interesting conversation with an immigration officer in the U.S. one time. I said, what about all these people from, in this case it was Latin America, who are becoming American citizens? And he said, oh, I know what they're doing. They're getting citizenship and then they're going back to live in their home country. But they want this citizenship in case of an emergency. If things go bad in their country, they're coming to the U.S. and they're citizens, so they'll have to be let in. And of course, I'm aware of that now in the news, because Lebanon is on the edge of war. Israel is threatening that way. And the Canadian government is having to wrestle with, because there are a lot of Canadian citizens who live in Lebanon and just want to be there. But if war breaks out, they're Canadians. And there are people I know who just want to know that they belong to God. So if I need help, if there's an emergency, I'm going to pray. I ignore you most of the time, God, but boy, if I need help. And if there is such a thing as heaven, I do want to make sure I go there and not to destruction, as Paul mentions in Philippians. Are you living as a citizen? And that song says, heaven affects the way that I forgive. It really does. Some of us have experienced that, learning to forgive because we know Jesus has forgiven us everything. And yet some Christians are not quick to forgive. Why? Because they don't have their minds on things above. They don't have eternal values in view. But number three, let's think for a minute about, we must develop a heaven perspective, that we will have our bodies transformed like his glorious body, that we will one day appear with him in glory. I read somewhere, somebody wrote, if you ask people, what is one thing you'd like to change about your body? And in this article, don't blame me for this, in this article, it said women will answer almost immediately. Men will just say, duh. But we know that changing our bodies is a billion-dollar industry, because we want to look younger, or we want to look better, we want to look slimmer. And so all the industry, you know, I don't need to go into that. The Bible says one day we're going to have perfect bodies. And so if you're struggling with arthritis today, are you enjoying that hope? If you're struggling with a disability, if you're living with pain, there's going to be no aging, no death, no pain. Once we graduate by dying, we will be in a place that will be wonderful, because we will have a body like the eternal body of Christ. We won't be like him in every way, but we will know him well enough as he knows us. So the promise there is of a glorious body, and that means, and the song again had that line, can't recall it now. Yeah, the peace in this pain, the hope in this grief. I could introduce you to people in this congregation. I won't, but right now they're proving that. They are a model of having peace in pain. They're living with pain, and if you ask them, they won't even mention it. If you said, how are you doing? They will say, doing well. But they actually are living with pain, but they have a peace about that, because it's not wasted. They're being shaped into the image of Jesus, and they know that this life is not all we have. And those who have hope in this grief. You know, there are people in our congregation who have lost the closest life companion they had, and yet you see them and they're still smiling. There's a lot of pain, grief inside, but they have the joy that only God gives, because they're focused on heaven. Peace in this pain, hope in this grief, heaven. And if I had time, I'd like to talk to you about how amazing heaven is. I've often not paid attention to that, and maybe I'm paying more attention because I'm old. Stupid me to wait till I'm old, because sometimes people die at age 20. We know that, right? Or age 30. And so we all ought to be thinking about, what is promise? Why do I want to have heaven's values? Well, because heaven is so amazing. To think of being in the presence of God and not being destroyed because of his glorious presence, to think of being there and being like Jesus. Can you imagine what it would be like to never feel selfish, never feel greed, never feel lust, never feel envy, never have hurt feelings, never hold a grudge? Can you imagine what that could be like? No wonder people want to go to heaven, to be changed like that. Can you imagine living with people surrounding who don't take offense or give offense? And that's what everybody is going to be like in the next life, the presence of God, people changed. Can you imagine what it would be like? Do you remember a day when you worked hard on a project, could be anything, but you worked hard and at the end of the day you thought, man, that feels good. Just to get that done. What a great day. Well, blow that up by 10 or 100 times. The assignments you're given in heaven, you're going to feel like that all the time. Man, it's so good to work for God because you have a glorious body and you have eternity. Think of the best day that you've ever experienced, let's say by the lake or on the lake if you like kayaking and boating. The best day where the weather was perfect. You were alone if that's what you really like, or you were with the ones that you love, whatever. And you're there, and for some of you who have that strange habit, the fish are biting, whatever gets you, okay? It's the best day. And at the end of the day, you think, man, I'm so sorry. The next day is windy and rainy. Well, that best day, blow that up by 100 times, that's what it's going to be like in heaven. Or maybe think of the best family day you've ever had. Now, some of us come from broken families, and that's hard to find that day. But some of you would know what I experienced. You've had a day, nobody's argued. Maybe it's five of you or might have been 50 of you. Has there been such a spirit of unity, of fun, and you've just enjoyed that day, and you think to yourself, man, I wish we could have more days like this. You won't ever think that in heaven. All the days are going to be like that. So you have a perfect body. You'll be with your perfect Savior. Everything will be perfect. And why don't you look forward to that more? Those Olympic athletes have disciplined their bodies, their eating habits. They've experienced pain just for a little hope a few years away. And some of us don't know much at all about disciplining our lives for heaven's sake, for Jesus' sake, for laying up treasures in heaven. When are you going to invest your time, your talent, your treasure in a way that Jesus would want you to do? So that you're really laying up treasure in heaven by loving Him, by loving others, by serving, by giving. When are you going to start doing that if you say you're a follower of Jesus? I love the old story about a rabbi who was approached by a young man. And the young man said, Rabbi, when should I prepare for death? And the rabbi said, well, son, you should prepare for death the day before you die. And the young man was a little bit taken aback. And he said, well, Rabbi, of course, I don't know when I'm going to die. Well, then, son, start preparing today. One day, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're going to be in heaven. I don't have time to go into it, but it says that there's going to be a difference in heaven. Some people are going to get there, but their whole life will just be crumpled. You can read 1 Corinthians chapter 3 to see that. They will get there, but have nothing to offer to God. And others will get there, and they will be able to offer what they have lived for Jesus. And it'll make all the difference. Would you commit yourself today to reset your mind and your heart? Because your change has to come from the inside. It's not just, well, I'll do this, I'll do that. No. Reset your heart and your mind. Be resetting your heart and mind by reading the Word regularly, by listening to it. If you don't want to read it, get it on an audio, on your phone. But letting the Word of God and the love of God change your perspectives and your values and your life. And that's why you want to get together with citizens of heaven, like you are right now, with most of the people here who really are committed to Jesus. We need to be together to encourage each other. The way that I love, the way that I live, the way I let go and the way I forgive, the peace in whatever pain it is, the hope of heaven in the most terrible grief. Heaven changes everything. So would you commit yourself to living more like a citizen of heaven? Get your mind on things that will last forever and let that change everything. Father, we thank you for the time we've had to worship, for the time we've had to focus for a little while on what your word tells us over and over and over again. We are meant for something better. And yet, forgive us, we so often live as though this life is all there is. Help us, change our hearts, change our minds. Help us to make the effort to be changed from the inside out, to know that Jesus in heaven changed everything. Amen.